We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Glad to head out on the WadeFord.com hotline. Welcome in our pal, Jason Longshore. Jason, of course, the color analyst for the Atlanta United broadcast that you can hear, including a match coming up later today between Atlanta United and Montreal on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. And then he's also part of the No Swag Shop, where he and Mike Conti talk a little Atlanta Hawks basketball every week on Facebook, on the 92.9 The Game Facebook page. Jason, before we get to United, if you don't mind, I'd like to start with the Hawks for just a second. I know you keep up with it, you follow it, and you enjoy talking about it. And this is it's remarkable. I said this morning, if you would have told me at the end of February, when it looked like things were just in a tailspin and this team couldn't close out games, they couldn't finish, they couldn't win late, that this team would, since March 1st, have the best record in the NBA and be sitting here with a chance heading into the final game of the regular season to finish fourth in the East, I don't know that I would have believed it at that point.
No, I would have thought, if you had told me that at that point, I would have thought you had gotten in to some moonshine or something. I mean, that was impossible. When we first started doing the No Swag Shop on the Facebook page for the station, when we're talking about, you know, what the team needs to do to improve for next year, what kind of areas you're looking to target to improve, contract situations, the thought of being the best team in the league down the stretch, that was impossible at that point.
Yeah, it's been a wild turnaround. It's been a fun turnaround. I can tell you this much. It's had me much more in tune to the NBA as a whole late in the year than what I have been in the last couple of years, where maybe I would, you know, still follow along with what the Hawks were doing, but maybe not necessarily dialed into the rest of the league at this point. The Hawks managed to stay out of the play-in tournament, which I think is key for them. Your thoughts on this play-in tournament, because, and where I'm going with this, you're a soccer guy. Soccer has had, at many levels, in many leagues, will have a tournament in the middle of the season. The NBA is talking about doing the same thing in the future. Now, as a to me, that just seems kind of strange. What's the purpose of that mid-season tournament? What can it do for the NBA?
See, I love the idea of the mid-season like cup tournament. You know, in the MLS, for example, we have the U.S. Open Cup in the middle of the season. And I think the NBA is looking at doing something like that around the All-Star break. I'm not a fan of the play-in tournament per se. I hope that when we get back to a normal season next year, it's the normal playoff structure that we know and expect. I think maybe it's a little too bloated at the moment, but a mid-season tournament is exciting because it can be a spark for teams that have maybe struggled a little bit in the first part of the season. Maybe they had injuries, a coaching change, what have you, and you go on a little run and win the tournament. I think it'd also be an opportunity for the NBA, and this is another thing that Mike and Andy and I have talked about on No Swag Shop. It'd be an opportunity for them to maybe invite a European champion in and play, maybe a couple of other clubs from around the world to play. As the game continues to grow and the NBA is at the forefront of it, that could be transformative, not just for, you know, those other teams getting that opportunity to test themselves against the best, But for the NBA to continue to recruit the best players in the world at a younger age and be able to develop them, it'd be an exciting twist in the season, you know, that we're not used to in the NBA side, but soccer fans would love it.
How concerned do you think we should be over these TV ratings in the NBA? They haven't been good so far. Haven't been good at all.
Yeah, it's tough the way people consume sports now. I don't know if the old school TV ratings metrics are necessarily the most important way to do this. It's changed, you know, and I think you're looking at people maybe not watching all of the games, but consuming the highlights. It's the conversation on social media. It's so many different things than just TV ratings now. I think the NBA is in a good place. There's a lot of conversation about it. There's a lot of new stars coming through. I wonder how they'll solve the TV rating side, because it does tie into dollars and advertising and money and revenue.
Jason Longshore, he's a color analyst for the Atlanta United broadcast. You can hear Jason and Mike Conte tonight. They'll have the call as the United take on Montreal tonight. You can catch it here, Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. Let's switch gears now. We've talked about the Hawks. We're going to do this again, by the way, because we got to get your thoughts on John Collins and what's going to go there. But we'll save that for another time. Let's talk about United here for a minute. Where is Atlanta United right now under the direction of a new coach and kind of a new feeling around the organization? Can you kind of put it into terms as to where they are right now?
Yeah, it's early days. You're four games in the league. You've had CONCACAF Champions League as well. So eight games in a short period of time, but 30 games left in league play. And it's a process. You know, that's what most top managers will tell you at this level. You don't come in and have the team playing its best soccer day one. It takes time to understand the concepts that Gabriel Heinze is instilling in this group. And there's some differences in the way that they've played in the past, including from the Tata Martino days. Gabriel Heinze is not a carbon copy of Tata Martino by any stretch. He wants the team to play higher up the field consistently, defend higher up the field. That's something that takes some getting used to. Because your natural inclination, you lose possession, is to recover, drop, and defend, and be secure defensively. What Gabriel Heinze wants his team to do, and they've struggled to do it here lately, I think as the amount of minutes they've played in a short period of time has caught up to them. He wants them to stay up high and press and put the other team under pressure, cause those turnovers that can lead to quick chance opportunities.
Jason, you go back to when this franchise first started, and you've been with it, you know, literally since day one. Well, you go back, I think one of the things that helped Atlanta United and kind of helped get this city behind it, and you and I have talked about this before, it was the style of play that Tata brought when he took over that kind of led it to it was exciting. People enjoyed it. People wanted to watch. Even folks who weren't soccer fans like me, I didn't grow up following it, but it was hard not to get caught up in what was happening because it was an exciting brand to play and they were winning. With Heinze in his style, can it do the same thing? That because I do feel like that was so key for this organization in the early going to play that style.
The interesting conversation that I think people are starting to have is when you look at Tata Martino's Atlanta United, especially late 2017 when the team moved into Mercedes-Benz Stadium, style was part of it, but most importantly, it was goals. And it wasn't just the style creating those goals, the way that some of those games turned early with, you know, quick goals with quick turnovers, teams coming in and being overwhelmed by playing in front of the crowd at Mercedes-Benz Stadium and games, you know, turning, you know, out of hand really fast for the opposition. The style had a component to that, absolutely, but it was a lot of goals. When you look at just take the scoreboard out of it for me right now, and you look at the style that Atlanta United is working towards, they're not a finished product by any stretch, but you're seeing a lot of these things at least every match, maybe not 90 minutes of every match. That's going to take some time, but you're seeing these things every match. I enjoy this style more. It's just the goals aren't there yet. And that's the hard thing about the sport at times, as you're getting into it and digging into it, is style can be great. You can play really, really well and you can lose. You can not find a goal. You can play poorly, find a couple of goals off of set pieces, off of deflections, off of turnovers, and maybe that masks the style thing a little bit. So as Atlanta continues to mature as a soccer city, like, now the conversation's starting to turn a little bit past just goals or style to get goals, or what do people want? And I think those conversations are a little fascinating at the moment.
Jason Longshore, he's a color analyst for the Atlanta United broadcast. You can hear it tonight. We'll talk a little bit about United and Montreal coming up here in just a few minutes with Jason on Sports Radio 92.9 The Game. How close is Joseph Martinez to being 100%?
He's getting a lot closer. That goal last week was huge for him, huge for his confidence. I think that's the number one element that I'm seeing that is still coming back. It is confidence, is reading the play and reacting quicker. I think Joseph, as a striker in this league, has been at his best when he's made the runs off the ball before the person with the ball is ready to deliver the pass. Joseph's run directs where the ball's going to go. Right now, he's a little more reactionary. He's waiting for the pass, then he makes the run. Once he gets back into the flow of games consistently and game after game, that's going to come. I think we're starting to see it. It's just not quite 100% there. I'd put him at 85% maybe now.
Tell us about Montreal and what we can expect to see from them tonight.
Yeah, Montreal's been a surprise under Wilfred Nancy, their manager. They play a 3-5-2. And they have two forwards who are in good form right now, and Bjorn Johnson and Romel Kyoto. They're going to make it difficult for Atlanta's three center backs, is what I'm expecting to see. But Montreal's a team that will get a lot of numbers forward. They will risk, especially out wide, and I think Atlanta United can get numbers out wide and take advantage of that. I think the game's going to turn on the flanks, and Brooks Lennon becomes very, very important tonight. Jake Mulroney, if he gets the start, becomes very important tonight. Marcelino Moreno is critical to this team's success. Atlanta can create space and create opportunities from wide positions and hurt Montreal. Montreal can hurt them with those two up top by playing a little direct at times.
I know it's early, Jason. Is there a favorite in the East in the MLS?
It is early, and it's tough to tell because Columbus was the one that we thought coming in would be that favorite, defending champs. They upgraded their roster in the offseason, but CONCACAF Champions League, a little bit of the hangover from dealing with that. They haven't looked great yet. Philadelphia, same thing. They've looked good, but not great. You know, you've got a couple surprises like Montreal. New England is in that mix. I think Nashville can be in that mix. I do think Atlanta can be in that mix. It's a really crowded Eastern Conference. I don't think anybody has stepped away from the pack like we've seen out west with Seattle at the moment. But I think the top tier of the Eastern Conference is deeper than the West right now.
Before Atlanta United came along, if you followed MLS soccer, the team that was regarded as being excited, exciting to watch, the team that had the most rabid fan base prior to Atlanta United might have been, and at least in my estimation, it was the Seattle Sounders. They're off to a pretty good start. Are you buying Seattle now with four wins and a draw through the first five?
I think we have to because of what Brian Schmetzer's done since he took over. I was not buying them coming into the season. I thought Jordan Morris's injury would really make it difficult for them to be as dangerous in the attack as they have been in the past. I thought their defense was a little suspect at times over the last couple of years. But Brian Schmetzer's tweaked the formation. He's playing two up top. He's made some subtle tactical changes that are working really well for that team. And Cristian Roldan is proving to be one of the better underrated players in MLS. And Raul Ruiz Diaz is a forward who gets you goals consistently. If you have that and you're good enough defensively, you're going to win a lot of games in this league.
Any update now? You and I, we've talked about it a lot when we've been together before, and I have told you it is my opinion that in order for this league to continue to grow and take the next step, they've got to find some broadcast rights that get these games available, get it on linear television to start with, get on, you know, whether that's ABC, NBC, CBS, Fox, anything like that. What are you hearing in regards to, and I know there's been some talk about some of the money that has been paid to secure the rights of some of the European soccer leagues. Where's MLS fitting into this mix right now?
So they've got this year under contract and next season under contract. I think negotiations can fully start for that next deal in the 2022 calendar. So it's interesting because you're seeing more games on linear TV right now than ever before, and in MLS, but also other leagues as well. ABC's committing time to soccer. CBS is committing time to soccer where they haven't in the past. NBC with the Premier League, you know, Fox with MLS. You're seeing games everywhere, which is really fascinating at the moment, as the ratings have been good around the game. MLS's ratings, you want to continue to improve it. And I think the number one thing that MLS needs to do in their next deal is have a consistent day and time for a primetime, nationally televised game. And if it's, you know, if it's not directly in prime time, I think one thing that the NFL, it's very easy. You know when the games are on Sunday. You know when everybody's playing. Don't have to worry about that. In the Premier League, you know when the games are going to be. You know, teams might get bumped into different TV windows, but you know when the games are going to be. MLS, you have no idea when it's going to be on national TV, when the big games are. A consistent, focused game of the week would be huge for the next deal. And if that's a Friday night, if that's a Monday night, if that's a Sunday afternoon, find the time and dedicate it to it so it becomes destination viewing.
Jason Longshore, you can hear him tonight with Mike Conte as Atlanta United takes on Montreal. Jason, thanks for the time, man. As always, good to catch up. We'll do it again soon.
Yeah, we'll catch up soon. Good to talk to you, Chris.